Well, I do feel the prayers of the people of God. I woke up many times in the night, and again, just asking God, God, give me, please, just a little more voice than I had yesterday. And I think that He has answered that prayer. And so many people have texted and said that they were praying. And so I'm so appreciative of that. Have you ever been in a time in your life where you did feel that the prayers of God's people were lifting you up? Have you been there? And if you haven't, it's a good place to be. It's a good place to be. I would assume that at some point in the next 4 years, if you're a freshman, you are going to have times like that. There are going to be some valleys that you're going to go through. You're going to wonder where the next tuition payment's going to come from. You're going to wonder why you lost that job, maybe, or where the next step is going to come from, the leading for the next step. And so I just would encourage you, be a person of prayer. And that's not the message today, but just to help you along the way to learn right now as young people, young men and ladies in the ministry, that your help comes from the Lord. Amen. Well, this may not have been a normal opening year with chapel and revival services and chapels on a different day today and all of that. But when I wrote that down this morning, I then wrote down the next statement, but who here is really normal? Amen? I don't know that any of us are really normal. And if you're normal or think you are, you're the oddball this morning, all right? But man, I'm glad to be here. It's been a joy and a blessing. And I'm sorry I've not been around as much as I typically would be. Just again, trying to save my voice. And I don't know, I maybe have germs. I don't want to give you what I have. But thank God that He has strengthened my voice enough to see this morning to be here in chapel again on this Tuesday. Right? It is Tuesday. Is that right? Kind of lose track of time, right? When you're not 100%. Yesterday, we began a message that I entitled, Go After It. It's an Old Testament story. If you want to get your Bibles back open to Joshua chapter number 3, that's where we'll be in just a moment. But I believe it also has a New Testament application. Paul said in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. And here's the next statement. And reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I hope that in this day of your college, this era of your college time and preparation for the ministry that God's called you to, I hope that you'll keep your eyes on the goal. I hope that you'll keep your eyes pressing forward. It's very easy to look back. Paul said, forgetting those things which are before. Hey, maybe you had some tough, difficult teenage years. Maybe there was a year of rebellion. Maybe in some cases you were away from the Lord. Oh, maybe you never left as a prodigal, but maybe in your heart you were not where you were supposed to be. Guess what? You're past that now. Forgetting those things which are behind. Leave them under the blood. Amen? Forgiven and forgotten. Why? So that you can press forward to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so I think that's a little bit in a New Testament application of what we're talking about here in the book of Joshua, where God said to the people, to this younger generation, I want you to go after it. We've seen Moses' generation. He's passed off the scene. Joshua now is an older man, but he is now allowing to lead the younger generation into the promised land. And Joshua is saying, hey, this is your time. Take the lead. Move forward in faith. Go after it. But this morning's message is I'd like to answer three questions about that. Number one, why? Number two, when? And number three, what is it that we are actually going after? Go after what? Why am I supposed to be going after this? And when is the time to go after this? Look with me, if you don't mind, please, Joshua chapter number 3. Let's just remind ourselves of our text in verse number 3. The Bible says, And they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God. We're going to come back to that at the end of the message. And the priests and the Levites bearing it, then shall ye remove from your place and, stay with me, church, ready? Go. Father, I pray that you'll add your blessing now to the reading of this passage. Lord, we laid the foundation yesterday. Now, Lord, today as we really put the meat on the bones, I pray that you'd help me now, please. Give me strength of voice and mind and clarity and Lord, of heart and soul. And God, I pray that I would never say something I should not say, but only say that which would bring glory and honor to your name. May I help these kids today, I pray. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I left you with a phrase yesterday as we were leaving. I said, because of life's importance, there is a definite incumbence. And again, if you weren't taking notes maybe yesterday, the word incumbent, it would be our word necessary. It is very necessary. It's incumbent upon you. So because life is so very important, it is a necessary incumbence to not move forward in ignorance. And I believe that that's what Joshua was about to tell the people here. He said, look, I want you to go after it. I want you to go over the Jordan River. I want us to cross over into the promised land, but I don't want you to do it in ignorance. I don't want you just having to figure it out on your own. And we're going to get there at the end of the message. The most vital part of this message is what is it they were following? They were not just waiting on the command of Joshua. They were not just waiting for some lightning bolt to come out of heaven. You'll find in the passage that the ark of God, when it began to move, that's when they began to move. And we're going to talk about what the ark of God is and how we can make the application in our own lives as well. Now I want you to notice, go back to verse 1 if you don't mind please. Let's kind of get a running start here. The Bible says that Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. Now watch this. He and all the children of Israel, and read the next phrase with me. Ready? Lodged there before they passed over. I want you to notice that before they began their journey across the Jordan River, they took just a moment. In fact, verse 2 says they took 3 days. For whatever reason, God sometimes brings us to a spot and then He says, now wait on me. You ever been there? Maybe you were trying to decide where to go to college. Maybe you had 10 choices you were praying about, and God said, wait on me. Maybe you had some significant difficulty in your teen years, and maybe there was something going on in your family that you didn't quite understand. Maybe a church split. Something took place in that setting. And it brought some instability maybe to your life. And God said, just wait on me. He's bringing them now to the brink of the Jordan. Can I say this? College is a little bit like that. You've got 4 years. Some of you only have one more year if you're a senior. I mean, you're about to the time of launching into the promised land, going over Jordan. Verse 2 says that they were there for 3 days and they were waiting on the command to go over. But I want to answer 3 questions, and I think they're vitally important for college age students. Now, I'm sorry if I call you kids. I'm 53, all right? My oldest daughter's 29 years of age, probably older than most of you here. So I kind of even look at this maybe a little bit as like your dad's talking to you today, all right? So would you allow me to be a father figure to you just a little bit? Can I just talk to you? Can I help you a little bit and answer the questions about going after it? But number one, why? Why is it important that I go after it? The it will answer in the third point. But I want to answer right now why. Notice with me in verse number 4, and I think that we find something very, very important. The Bible says this in verse number 4, yet there shall be a space between you and it, speaking of the ark, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it. Now I want you to notice the phrase, and we're going to do a little teaching right now, all right? This is going to be a little bit of English class, all right, in just a moment. If you mark in your Bible, I might want you to get your pen out, and I'm going to ask you to circle something that is going to be vitally important to understanding the first point of this message. Notice in verse 4 from the word that. In fact, let's read it together. Ready? That ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Would you look down at that verse and tell me what punctuation is between the word go and the word for? A colon. If you want to circle that, I'm going to teach you something right now, all right? We're going to move out of chapel and we're going to go to English class, all right? Do I have any English majors here with me? Anybody? There we go. All right. I won't put you on the spot, but I'm going to ask you, what does a colon in the English language do? Now, before we even get there, let me just stop and say, how many of you believe we have a perfect Bible? Is it preserved in the English language in the King James Version? That's why we use it. We believe that God not only inspired it, but He preserved it unto every generation. Doesn't the Bible also say that every jot and every tittle is inspired and preserved? And I think it's very important to the understanding of this word or this verse right here, and an understanding for the point that I'm going to make is, why was a colon placed in this particular verse? Let me help you with it. In the English language, a colon separates two clauses in a sentence. Watch this. When the second clause is being used to explain or illustrate the first clause. So what that means is, the first statement is given, colon. Now I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to illustrate for you why I just said what I did in the first statement. All right, how many of you are tracking with me so far about the colon? Now, let's look at the phrase again in verse 4. He says, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. I'm answering the question, why? Why is it important to go after the Ark of the Covenant? And he says, I'll tell you why it's important. That ye may know the way by which ye must go, colon. Let me tell you why you need to know that. He's saying, you don't know the way you're supposed to go because, let me explain or illustrate it. Here's the answer. For you have not passed this way heretofore. He says, let me tell you why you need to keep your eye on the ark. It's because you've never been across the Jordan yet. You've never been in the promised land yet. You don't know how to fight the enemies that are over there, the giants and the Goliaths in the land. He said, look, you've not been there yet. That's why you better keep your eye on God. And I want to say to you this morning, listen to me, and I'm not talking down to you. I am not underestimating that you have lived 18 or 19 or 20 or 21 years. But may I just say to you, please, you have not yet been over the Jordan into the ministry yet. You're here for preparation. You're here for instruction. You're here for learning. And there's one thing that's going to get you into the promised land and keep you right with God, and that is to keep your eye on the ark of God that is going before you. When you start doing it in your own power, in your own strength, you're going to go left, you're going to compromise, you're going to go after the contemporary crowd. But if you keep your eye on the ark of God, I promise you, you will stay where God wants you to be. He says, look, the reason, the why that it is so important that you follow the ark of God is because you've not yet passed this way heretofore. We could say it this way. You have not yet been down that road. We could say it this way. This is your first rodeo. You ever heard someone say, this isn't my first rodeo. I've been doing this a long time. Guess what? You haven't yet. You men, you haven't had your first counseling session yet. You men, you haven't pastored your church yet. You haven't yet been to the mission field. Now, I'm not saying that that's not where you're going. And I'm not saying that's not the call of God in your life. What I am saying is, you better keep your eye on the ark of God so you get to where God's called you to go. The why is so very important about going after it. You need something to go after or to follow because you're not going to be successful in these areas, unless you do so. I'm gonna teach you something here. I was deciding whether to go here or not. Would you go to the book of Hebrews, please? Chapter number 13. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 13. And again, I apologize for the sound. This must be horrible to have to listen to, and I'm so sorry. But in Hebrews chapter number 13, I want you to look at verse number 7. I think this is vitally important, particularly for young people to grasp this concept. I know you know the verse. Look at chapter 13 of Hebrews and verse number 7. And I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to just stop talking for a minute. Would you read verse number 7 together? Ready? Remember then, which have the rules for you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith followed, considering How many of you are you're familiar with that verse? You maybe have memorized that verse. It's often used maybe preaching to teenagers. Hey, remember them that have the rule over you. Right, who would some of those people be? Would that be your parents? Would that be your pastor? Could that be a youth director or a Sunday school teacher? Could that be Dr. Townsley? Could that be your instructors right now here at Northeast Baptist College? Sure. They're speaking unto you the words of God, right? He says, remember them. They have the rule over you. You should give them honor and respect. But I want to show you the last part of that verse in relation to the point of the message. Notice, if you will, where the Bible says, whose faith, next word please, follow. Now remember back in Joshua chapter number 3, they were to follow the ark of God, right? That's where we're going with this. They're going after the ark of God. Once the ark goes across the Jordan River, you're to follow it and keep your eye on that, because that's the power and the presence of God, and He's leading you into the promised land. He says, now in Hebrews, there are some that have spoken unto you the word of God. And He said, I've given them to you so you can keep your eye on them. Sometimes it's hard to know where to go if there's not someone to follow. Now, please don't misunderstand. I am not saying follow man over God. That's not what I'm saying. What I think this verse is saying is, find someone that you know is following God and keep your eye on them. The Bible says, whose faith follow. It didn't say follow them. It says follow their faith. You find someone that is a liver of faith, living by faith. You find someone who is a lover of God and a servant of the Lord. He said, you follow the faith. And it goes on to say, considering the end of their conversation. The word conversation there means lifestyle. So here's what he's saying. Watch this. He says, look, you've not been here before. You've not walked down this path before. Can I just say, that's why God gave you parents. You've not lived the years they've lived yet. Use their experience, the wisdom and the counsel and the guidance that they can give to you, especially if you have Christian parents. If you have a godly pastor back home, make sure that you don't cut ties or a relationship just because you came to college. I'm saying to you, remember the ones that are in your life who have spoken to you the word of God. Why? They've given you a great example to follow. And you can consider the end of their conversation. And I believe that's a little bit of what Joshua was saying here to the people. He said, look, we're going to follow after the ark of God. God is going to be in the midst of us, in the presence of God with the ark. But we cannot do this on our own because we have not passed this way heretofore. You see, kids, you've not completed college yet. You have not yet chosen your companion for life. Now, unless there's a marriage student here, I believe I'm looking at single young people right now, single adults. So you've not been down the marriage path yet. You've not walked down the marriage altar yet. I have, 32 years ago. I've performed over 150 weddings in my 32 years of ministry. I've counseled all of those couples in premarital counseling and pastoral counseling. And I think maybe I know a little bit about marriage. Guess what? You've not walked that way heretofore yet. That's not dissing you. That's just saying, maybe you need to keep your eye on someone else's conversation instead of just making the decision about who you're going to spend the rest of your life with by yourself. Maybe good godly counsel is something that you need to consider about who you're going to marry. I didn't say your mom and dad need to pick your mate for you, but you better keep them very involved. I know it's 2022, and I know that goes against all of the common worldly advice. But if you want to do it right, because you only get one chance at doing it right. Especially if you are going to go in the ministry, man. Husband of one wife. It's the second qualification of a bishop. Must be blameless. The husband of one wife. You mess that up, you mess the rest of your ministry up. Amen. I'm just trying to say, you've not made that choice yet. So maybe keep, okay, who right now in your heart and mind has the great marriage, has a great Christian marriage that you would like to follow after? Then find out what made that marriage. Talk to them. Counsel with them. Read books on marriage. Watch after those who've done it successfully, especially those in the ministry. Why? Because you have not yet walked that way heretofore. So you've not completed college. You've not chosen a companion. You've not started your career yet. You say, oh yeah, Pastor, wait a minute. I mowed lawns as a teenager growing up. Okay, that's wonderful and that's great and that made you a few bucks. You haven't started your career yet. You understand? That's still in the future here. And all I hope that all of you develop a good, strong work ethic. And I hope it starts right here in college. Hey, well, let me say this, guys, girls. If you can't get up when the alarm clock goes off and get to class on time, you're probably not going to be fit to pastor a church someday. Let's just dig deep right there. Amen. Now we're meddling, right? Hey, if you can't get your assignments done, if you can't get the projects done, if you can't come prepared for a test, you're probably not going to come prepared to preach a sermon. You see, you're learning right now to be the man of God that you say you're called to be. But you have not walked that way heretofore yet. You're walking that path. You're going towards that path. But you've not been down there yet. So let's prepare. Let's make sure that not only is it a career, but can I say this because I'm preaching in a Bible college, it is a calling. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Have you answered that call to go to the mission field? Answered the call to teach in a Christian school? Answered the call to pastor a church? Answered the call to you fill the blank in what God's asked you to do, what you young ladies feel called of God to do? You've come to a place to now prepare for that calling, but you've not yet walked this way heretofore. Can I say next, you've not had children yet. You don't know what it is yet to be a father or a mother, a parent. Can I just say, please, listen, I believe, especially pastorally, your most important ministry is your family, not your congregation. I hope you men agree with me when I say that. You look at Dr. Townsley, who's been married for almost 50 years. He put a high priority on his marriage. His wife is sitting beside him today. Rearing godly children. Having the home that God wants you to have. So vitally important for the calling that God's placed in your life. So do everything you can to prepare for the way that you have not yet walked heretofore. The last statement that I'll make, and we're going to have to wrap this up. I've used some C words. You've not completed college. You've not had a companion. You've not started your career. You've not yet followed the call. You've not yet had children. Lastly, you have not yet walked the full course of your life. The full course of your life. We started a moment ago with the verse in Philippians where Paul said that I'm pressing towards the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He also said in another spot that I may finish my course with joy. With joy. I apologized to you yesterday for my generation, on behalf of my generation, that maybe some have not given you the examples that you deserved to have. I also would follow that up to say, I'm sorry that some in my generation have not shown you the joy of serving Jesus with their life. It's almost as if we always look at the negatives of the ministry and, oh, how hard it is and how difficult it is. My friends, can I just say to you, please, the Apostle Paul had a lot of burdens throughout his life in ministry, but he got to the end and he said, but nothing has stolen the joy of the course that I've walked. That I may finish my course. Wasn't it Paul that said in Timothy that he had kept, that he finished his course, he had run his race, he had kept the faith? But he did it with a joyful heart and a joyful spirit. I'd like, as you start 18, 19, 20, 21, I hope you have the happiness and the joy of the Lord in your heart right now. And I hope you never lose that. And guess what? If you find the right companion, that's going to bring joy. You marry the wrong person, that's going to bring nothing but misery. You have children that you rear and train in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The Bible says they will bring you joy. A wise son maketh a what? A glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. And can I just ask you here, please, what kind of a child have you been to your parents? And will you reap what you have sown? I'm just saying, the things that could bring you joy, can I just say to you, please, and I'm wrapping up here, we got to end. Can I just say, following the Lord Jesus in this calling that He's placed in your life, I promise you there's nothing but at the end of the road looking back and saying, no regrets. I'm so glad I followed the Lord. Because you're walking after the ark of God that you're to go after. Well, we only answered one question, and that is why. And I get one more shot at you tomorrow. This must be the Lord's doing, that this was supposed to be a three-part sermon. Amen. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.